Ready to roll?
Of course.
Okay.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. I've got a pretty interesting discussion now. This is going to be a bit technical, but I've got a new friend called Georg Holtzman from a company called Orphonic.com. And welcome to the call, Georg.
Hello, James.
I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, that's great.
Probably your software can fix that up somehow. Now, I'll tell you just a little bit of a backstory. I make a lot of podcasts. I put out something almost every day and also videos. And I'm not an audio technician, which would be obvious to you and most of my listeners. And a month or so ago, one of my friends sent me an email and he said, listen, don't take this the wrong way, but I have a lot of trouble listening to your interviews in the car because I use headphones and it's not balanced. One person's louder than the other. And sometimes the microphone's a bit hot. And I thought I was sort of adjusting the levels equally, but as I said, I'm not an engineer. And he sent me a link and he said, use this. He said, it's funded by the Austrian government and you put in your audio and it will compute and calculate and balance and equalize, and it can tell the difference between music and voice, and it will turn out something beautiful at the other end. And I thought, that sounds a little bit magical, so I'll try it. Oh, and by the way, it's free. So I loaded up my files, and sure enough, the end result was clean, crisp, easy listening podcasts. And since that day, it's now become part of our standard operating procedure that every single audio and every single video that we make gets loaded up and then downloaded again and then put onto our site for our customers. So, Georg, I'm very, very interested to know about Orphonic, and we'll spell that for people. It's AUPHONIC.com. How could it possibly do this, and how is it free?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, we started to work on Orphonic. I think it was 2.5 years ago now, and mainly because of a popular podcaster in Germany who always speaks also about the technical side behind of podcasting, and he always claimed that it is so difficult and you have to figure out all this audio engineering and also all the file formats and convert it correctly and all the metadata and chapter marks, for example. And so I thought, yeah, actually it's quite easy to make a little automation software for this. And all this started with a small script just to adjust the loudness. And it started very, very simple. And then it got more complex again, more complex and complex. So, for example, now it's really... So, if you upload an audio file to us, we will first analyze the audio file very detailed. So, for example, we look in the file where are music parts or where are different speakers or where are different background scenes. And with this knowledge, we can just try to automate the process what the audio engineer is doing manually. So, for example, we equal the loudness of different speakers or between music and speech. And it's also very important to treat the music in a different way than, for example, speech, because music has much more natural dynamic and you can't just remove it. It would sound stupid. And yeah, we also do noise reduction, for example. We analyze where are noise backgrounds or where are they changing. And then we take small noise samples and remove the noise from the recording. And also another important part is the overall loudness of a podcast, so that different files or different episodes of your audio are in a similar loudness. And yeah, and all this is done automatically.
And it's fast as well. What I love about it is that someone without technical knowledge like me can edit, just do basic edits. I can put an introduction, I can put an outro, I can join a couple of voice tracks together, and it just spits out something of high quality. Now, I understand some of this has had an application for European radio stations where they have certain requirements or standard around the noise between commercials and the broadcast? Is it sort of they have to equalize things? Has that been one of the considerations?
Actually, this was not in the beginning when we started with the project. These regulations didn't exist yet, so actually this was in the same process as we tried to develop some common loudness targets. So I was very surprised that the big broadcasting corporations actually did the same thing or tried to build the same thing. So yeah, this was a lucky coincidence.
Who's paying for this? Because you know, normally I'd be used to paying a subscription fee for something like this service.
Yeah, actually at the moment we have, as you already said, we have it's a funded project from the Austrian state here. And yeah, the funding is still going a little bit. So we don't have to make money now. That's quite great. Because actually our overall goal is to improve the whole infrastructure for making audio on the web. So in the moment, it's still very difficult if you want to host your podcast or to make your feeds. It's still very, very difficult for non-technical users and also how to record everything. So actually we will be working on all these parts so that it will be as easy as blogging. And yeah, we of course plan to introduce, or at least now our plan is to introduce a freemium model later so that heavy users pay a little bit for it. Like for instance, we have here universities which are using lots of lecture recordings, and of course they cannot post-produce it manually because it would be much, it's so much work, so you can't do it. And yeah, that's our plan, to make it in a freemium model so that the small podcasters can still use it for free and the heavy users pay for it a little bit.
In the last few weeks, I've mentioned it many, many times, and everywhere I've posted it in my forum, on Facebook, on Twitter, people say thank you so much. Even people who, I mean, the majority of my audience are not technical, but even people who are technical are saying to me, okay, you know, this sounds like too good to be true. I'm going to test it out myself. And they even deliberately record out of sync files and then run it through the machine to see what happens. Now, they come back and say, wow, this actually works. And to paint a picture for you how I'm recording today, I'm on my laptop. I'm traveling. I'm in Manila in the Philippines. I'm in a hotel room that has a very noisy air conditioner. I'm using a Logitech headset. So it's not my normal podcasting microphone that I would use at home. And it's going to go into your machine and come out a little bit cleaner than what it actually went in. And in fact, I suspect I must be putting in some of the dirtiest, worst quality tracks ever, because you even emailed me asking if you could use one of mine as an example of how good this thing is. So I'm guessing there's a big difference between the start file and the end file. And the one that you sent me about was an interesting one, because the battery on my microphone had gone flat and the voice recording was very low compared to what it would normally be. And then when I got the file back, it brought it back up and it equalized it and it made it sound as if everything was just fantastic. And I'm still amazed with it. So the fact that you're hands-on and that you actually reply, and you sent me back some suggestions on the settings that I could use. Could you talk me through what the average podcaster should be using in terms of the default settings?
Yeah, the first thing maybe, it is, of course, the better the input recording is, the better the output will be. So you cannot remove everything, so that's not possible. So there's no magical machine which can make every very crappy recording totally high quality. But, of course, you can remove, you can clean up lots of things. So in the general settings, so at the moment, we have a few algorithms. At the moment, everything is activated by default, but not the noise reduction. So this is one algorithm you have to activate if you want to use it. And we will also try to automatically activate it as necessary. So this will be online soon. But at the moment, you just, if you have some static noise in the background, like when you record in a room and you have some you hear always the computer noise, and there is always some noise into the microphone. So then you just activate this noise and hum reduction, and this should remove all the noise. We have some problems. There are problems if you are in a room with lots of reverb. So if the microphone is not close to your mouth, then there are other problems which might not work with the noise reduction. So that's why we don't activate it by default now. But if you don't have these problems, then it should be fine to activate it.
Right. You actually sent me an email saying you should tick the noise and hum. And I do that now as a standard. So I think what I'm doing is pretty much using the standard setup, ticking the noise and hum, and if it's an audio, I don't really change anything because it outputs it as an audio by default from memory. And if it's a video, I change it to export the same as the input. So if I put in an MP4, it actually comes out an MP4. So just in case the listener is wondering, yes, you put a video in, you will get a video back out, but the sound will be fixed. And I've actually retro done my podcasts for some of my shows to make it easier for my listener. But the things that I like that we weren't doing is I can add the artwork to the audio track. And as you mentioned before, chapters, you can actually go and put chapters on a longer audio to make it easier for people to find sections of the audio. And that's something that's quite uncommon in the podcasting community. And you can also put the artist and the description and everything so that when you load up the file, it's going to tell you what it is when you put it into iTunes or something, which is a great feature.
Some remarks to chapters and things. So, for example, here in the German-speaking podcasting scene, chapter marks are very common. So, because they make really long podcasts. And yeah, actually, we also were behind it to get some new chapter mark standards for MP3 and Ogvorbis files. Before, it was just working for MP4 files. And another important thing, which I think you are not using, is we can also distribute the processed files automatically to your servers or to other services. So for example, if you process your file, you don't have to download it back again. So you can just put it directly on your server when you register your FTP or SFTP server with our servers. Or for example, you can automatically send it also to YouTube or to SoundCloud or to Libsyn or wherever you want. Also archive.org or Amazon S3. So then it's also distributed automatically to various locations.
And you can just use Dropbox too, right? Just pop it into Dropbox
of course,
it will work.
Or you could just register your Amazon S3 as an outgoing service, and then the result file would be copied to S3 automatically.
Yes, which is fantastic. If I'm an average person making a video or an audio and I like the sound of this and I want to use it, how do we get started with Orphonic?
You can just make an account on our webpage and just upload an audio file, or we have also an iPhone app, and the Android app is coming soon. So there you can also record your audio. And yeah, just try it. So it's for free. And we also very much appreciate feedback or feature requests or problems, whatever. So
I like that. It's such a great thing. And I see you're quite active on Twitter. And I know that my community is really thankful that you exist. So have you got any final tips for people who are putting out audio and video content, the things that you've seen other people do really well? Or, you know, I imagine sometimes you probably even listen to some of the content to get to see who's using it and how they're using it. Any sort of cool tips you might share as being privileged access to that sort of information?
Yeah, actually, it's one thing which is important is how you record your audio, I think. So the microphone should not be too much away. So many people just put the microphone somewhere and then five people are standing around a few meters away. So yeah, this won't sound good. So you have a lot of room in it.
Got it. So you put the best input in that you can and you'll get it cleaned up. And just to give you some perspective, I had someone quote me recently $100 per podcast episode to edit it using their Adobe editing suite and to make it sound good and tune it all up and turn the dials. But this really is something that you can use without any knowledge whatsoever. So thank you for creating it, Georg. And hopefully people in the superfastbusiness.com community are going to get right behind it and let you know how much they appreciate it, send you a tweet or something.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. All right, that was Georg Holzman from Auphonic.com, AuphonicCom. It's free. It's amazing. Check it out. And also a special thank you to David Fahler for referring me to Auphonic and suggesting that I improve the quality of my podcast. It was a really good suggestion, and it's going to benefit not just me, but all of the listeners and anyone who's producing audio or video content who's now going to be using Auphonic.com. Thank you. Have a great day. We'll be back with another episode shortly.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.